Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
How are we all doing?
Great.
Good. Lots to cover. Couldn't do it all during announcements because I need your attention. Lots of thoughts here. Let's see if I can do this. Great job, Kevin. Really appreciate that. Yeah, Leviticus and Numbers are my favorite books to read because Leviticus says, "I love you, Daddy," from Reagan. And Numbers says, "Happy Father's Day." And this is what I look like. So, yeah, those are my favorite. But just really appreciate the meditation on value and appraisal. And you're obviously here all today, so you value this and appraise it accurately. But just know that if you have struggled or if you struggle in the future with making it to assembly because of, for whatever reason, just understand that we just did right here by partaking of that meal with Jesus and Kevin. Ugh, Jesus in heaven. Thank you, Kevin. Oh, there's just some you know you're never going to walk away from. That one's going to stick. I'm already laughing 10 years down the road. Okay. Just a great reminder that our appraisal and the value that we assign, I mean, it's just got to be the most important thing in the whole world. And it doesn't matter what Bob said or what Sally's doing. It just doesn't. It matters that you are here because of your faith and commitment to the Lord to be a part of a kingdom meal that you are taking with Him. Everybody else will answer to God themselves. You don't have to answer for them. You don't have to complain on their behalf or judge them on God's behalf. He will take care of that. I promise you. Okay? And if you're right and that person is doing the thing that you think they're doing, God's going to get them. So, like, hey, what a really, really great reminder that this is what matters. Okay? So if you have struggled or you struggle in the future, just know it's between you and God and this meal right here. Because it's where eternal life is. Jesus said it. Kevin brought it up. With God in heaven. Hopefully alongside Kevin. My shirt got raving reviews last month. I wore it. It's your guys' favorite. The N is not for Nolan. It's for Nebraska. We're from corn country in Nebraska. So we like the football team. But I also look like a walking picnic table. So I had to wear it for picnic in the park day. So pretty excited about that. There's like a 41% coverage of rain today in the area. So, you know, not looking like anything that's going to shut us down. But if you're allergic to rain, then bring an umbrella. Here we go. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, "Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." I really love this verse. Of course, it's super popular. You all know it. And I don't want to take everything that God has done from what Kevin showed us in the foreshadows in the Old Testament to what Jesus has done on our behalf and to what has been made possible through the apostles and the prophets. And I don't want to oversimplify it sometimes, but I'm someone who tries to understand complex things by first understanding their basic components. And that's kind of my learning style, and that's what you guys get from me. A lot of times I try to give you examples. I'm trying to help you paint pictures. That works against me sometimes because you focus too much on the example than understanding. I'm just trying to help paint a picture here. I'm not saying this is the only way to handle that situation or this is what you do. Like, come on, guys. Let's be spiritual. Like Kevin said, let's try to understand the complex things of the Bible. Let's get over the elementary teachings about washings and everything, and let's press on to the maturity, to the meat of the word. Amen? And so I try to give us pictures here. And sometimes understanding their concepts at their most basic components is important to do. And so I feel like Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 is a really great summation verse of Christianity. Okay? Now, obviously, that's a very general statement. It's very simple. But you have two components. God is telling you to seek what? His kingdom and his righteousness. So now let's go one layer deeper. What is Jesus' kingdom? His church. So he told you that your mindset is to be seek the church. Okay? That would be because the church is valuable. Okay? Let's use the congregation here in Billings, for example. You are sitting next to the people who are going to heaven. Is that valuable? Okay? Now, I'm not picking on anybody. Some of us sing. Some of us don't sing. Some of us sing, well, two of us sing well. The rest of us sing okay. And some of us don't sing. And I'm not picking on you. But you got to understand, if you read the book of Revelation, what is Jesus' church doing for the rest of eternity? Singing praises to God. So you won't do it on earth now, but you promise you'll like doing it forever in heaven. Like, really? Okay. You don't like the people who are in the kingdom now, you know, sitting next to you. Yeah, you know, Gerald, you know, he's always talking out of turn. That guy. What? So you're telling me that you don't like the person that's sitting next to you now, but you'll like them forever in heaven. Like, come on, people. We're kidding ourselves. Come on. He says, seek the kingdom. Seek the church. Okay? If you've got obstacles between you and seeking the church, that's your fault, not God's. Now, the other thing you're supposed to seek is Jesus' kingdom and his righteousness. In a two words or a hyphenated word, what is the New Testament word for seeking Jesus' righteousness? New creation. So Matthew 6:33 just said what I'm making the appeal today in a great summation verse of Christianity is participate in conforming into the image of Jesus Christ and seek his church. I think you could really lump almost every spiritual thing you do into those two categories. Okay? Now, obviously, Christianity is way more complex than two things. So, again, trying to paint a picture here. Okay? So, there's a value that's being assigned here. One of the things that's incredibly important on understanding Christianity is identity. And that goes right in line with appraisal and value. Do we understand the difference between appraisal and value? Okay, we bought a house about 4 years ago. The appraiser came and did an appraisal, right? And it was his job to see what it's worth. So that's how those two words are different from each other. So when Kevin's saying I'm on a kick on value and appraisal, he's saying you're supposed to appraise things, okay? And when it comes to God's things, you're supposed to give them a high valuation, okay? Now, when we talk about valuing the church, because Matthew told us to do it, and I'm kind of getting on you this morning, because if you've got a problem with that, your problem's with God, okay, not me. And the other side of this is you're supposed to be participating in the new creation, which Roger brought out today. So I'm just saying everything that these guys said, but again, okay? Participate in the process of growing as a Christian. That's basically what his whole meditation was, okay? So a part of that appraisal process and valuing these things is going to come identity. And the appropriate appraisal and value on identity. And I want to talk mostly about your identity today, okay? Now, I could preach for hours. I'm doing my best here. But your identity is very important. Because you will act in accordance with the internal picture that you have of yourself. So if you think you're a slob and a loser, you will always do slobbish and loserish things. OK? Okay? If you think you are a holy, righteous instrument of God, you will conform into that picture. Okay? And there's a lot that could be said there. Identity is very important. Can I ask you a question? Yeah, who would say no to that? Thank you. Very gracious. Is our world in the midst of a tragic identity crisis? I unfortunately have this memory permanently etched in my brain as a core memory. I worked at Texas Roadhouse, and I worked in restaurants for over a dozen years. And some days it just feels like yesterday. The Intermountain distributor driver showed up once a week. And it was the Cisco driver. The Cisco driver would show up once a week, and he'd give us a case of lemons. And I'd always put the lemons in the cooler. And about once a month, there would be a single lime in the lemon box. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in the Cisco warehouse, anybody? That is a massive operation. I mean, if you want to wow at a solar eclipse or something of magnitude, walk inside the Cisco warehouse. That is an incredibly complex, huge operation. So, yeah, the lime's going to fall in the lemon box. Like, that happens. But the driver, and I don't know why I thought this was funny. You won't. But I'm putting the boxes away, and I said, man, about once a month, this lime just creeps in the lemon box. And he goes, he's suffering from an identity crisis. So it's kind of funny, you know. I'm never going to get that out of my head. And I thought, boy, there's a really powerful picture there, right? He's a lime that thinks he's a lemon. And so he's climbed into the lemon box. Is our country under, like, a cataclysmic, destructive identity crisis where people do not know who they are? See, our identities are so important. Now, step number one. You cannot identify as a Christian. We can't do it. Here's the story. I told it before. I'm in grade school, and I happen to be at a Lutheran private school. So Jesus came up quite a bit. And they said, you know, I'm the new guy on the block in seventh grade. And they said, hey, what are you? What do you mean? Like what faith are you? I didn't know. I thought we were supposed to be Christians. I was raised in a restoration church growing up. Where you kind of just call Bible things by Bible names, and the Bible has authority to speak, and you just do what the Bible says. I didn't know that I had to have a different label other than Christian. So I went home, and I said, Dad, what are we? You know, what are you talking about, son? Well, the kids at school said that I was either Catholic or Protestant, so what are we? And I said, I know we're not Catholic, so does that mean that we're Protestant? And, you know, Dad was smart in that way, and he was like, well, not really, because the Protestants, you don't want to be a Protestant, okay? They have man-made traditions, man-made creeds, and those creeds supersede the Word of God. So he just said, tell them that you're a non-denominational Christian. Okay, and this was back in the 90s when that actually meant something, okay? Now, I tell this story because that's kind of how people become Christians, isn't it? You know, they went to church with grandma a couple times growing up. Mom and dad never, I get this all the time. Mom and dad never really went to assembly, but I went to assembly with grandma once in a while growing up. And when it came time to choose a life insurance policy, or I mean, when it came time to choose a religion, I went with Christianity. That's how most people are Christians. They're identifying as Christians. You cannot identify. You don't get to choose. You don't get to, we got the Buddhists and the Muslims and the Jehovah Witnesses and the Mormons and the Catholics and the Protestants. You know, which one are you? Which one should we choose, Dad? We don't want to choose the Catholics, and we can't quite, you know, so we're just gonna choose. You know, you don't get to identify as a Christian, okay? You get to obey the gospel, amen? And the Bible says that you become a Christian when you repent of your sins and you're washed in water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins to receive the Holy Spirit. And if you did not believe that when you were being immersed, you have not been placed into the body of Christ. That is how you become a Christian. You don't get to identify as a Christian. Okay? So identity is really important. Colossians chapter 3. So, again, story that's been told 100 times. You know, I've been preaching full time here in Billings, so I think for 4 years, going on 5 years. So we're getting really close to that mark where the stories are going to start. Okay, and I'm working hard to update the inventory here. But there is just this amazing movie scene that I saw one day where this guy who was a high school history teacher and a basketball coach, his whole world comes crashing down when the basketball team cancels its program. And the whole movie's about him kicking rocks around in the backyard because he's all grumpy and he's being short with the kids and he ain't helping the wife out at the house, you know. And he's just, and the whole point is because everything that defined him, his identity, had just been taken away from him, you know. And what I wanted to give you guys this morning was just a reminder of who you are in Christ and your identity, okay? And the appropriate value from the appraisal of that, okay? Because he goes to the hospital to encourage this guy who's blind and dying, and the guy who's blind and dying ends up encouraging him, and he's sitting there going through the motions because the wife signed him up on the church clipboard to go visit the sick at the hospital, you know? So he shows up begrudgingly all down in the dumps because he's no longer a high school basketball coach. And so the guy just asks him, "Who are you?" And he said, "I'm a high school basketball coach." He says, "No, you're not. That's been taken away from you. So who are you really?" And he said, "I guess I'm a high school history teacher." And he said, "Okay, and if you were to lose your job, who are you?" And he was like, "Well, I suppose I'm a father." And he said, "Okay, and God forbid that was ever taken away from you. Who are you?" He's like, "I don't know. I guess I'm a husband." And he just goes and goes and goes and goes. And then, forgive me because I forget, 6, 7, 8 layers later, after the guy who's blind and dying has removed basketball, job, fatherhood, husbandry, hobbies, and all these things, he finally gets down to, "Well, I'm a Christian." And the guy's like, "Wow, for someone who calls himself a Christian, you're sure not acting like one. Why was it number 7 on the list? And how did high school history teacher get above Christian?" So that's what I'm trying to leave with you guys today. Who are you? Oh, I meant to ask you beforehand and I ruined it. That's the trick, right? If I said, "Who are you?" many of you would have said, "I'm an engineer." I hope not, but I'm a human. I kind of know the tendencies and the pull of the flesh, right? If I said, "Who are you?" If someone came up to me and said, "Who are you?" I'd say, "I'm a preacher." Oh, that's not who I am, is it? I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ. People have asked me who I am, and I say preacher. That's a mistake. That is a mistake. Now, I don't really call what I do a job. You know, my accountant still doesn't believe me that there's no retirement plan. I'm like, "Well, I mean, just I'm going to go until I can't." You know, he thinks I need like a 401k or something. He laughed me off when I said it. If I said, "Who are you?" many of you would have said, "College student, engineer." See, it would have been better if I had done this in the other order. See, now you all know the answer. "No, I wouldn't have done that." You're like, "I don't know, I'm a stay-at-home mom." Are you? You're a Christian. Value from the appraisal. What's number? Now, okay, you guys get it. I kind of want to keep poking you, but I'll stop. Why? Does "I'm a Christian," why does that have to be the number one layer, the answer?
Because it defines everything about
you. Yeah. It defines your identity. Now let's go a step further. Say you lose your job. And it was number 3. Or number 4 behind husband and father. Okay? Is that layer that's been stripped from you a layer that defines your identity? Nope. Christian. Can that be taken from you? It cannot. The Bible promises it. You can forfeit it, but it cannot be taken from you. When we get the appraisal right, like what Kevin's trying to say about the Lord's Supper, and we get all this other nonsense out of the way that's keeping us away from the Lord's table, that's because of the proper value after the appraisal. When it comes to our identity, we've got to be really good at reminding ourselves that we are Christians first and foremost. Because when we get that picture right, and I'm still working through it myself, brethren, I just gave you an example. I don't know, I call myself a preacher. Okay, it's like number 5. Because could I put railroad ties and still go to heaven? Do I have to be a preacher to go to heaven? It's like, no, I can do anything. I just have a desire to do this, which is part of the qualification, desiring to do it. Okay? So when those things get taken from us, they don't knock us off so bad when we're kicking bricks in the backyard, being short with our kids, not helping out the wife at home, and begrudgingly going through the motions. Because our identity is properly fixed. Okay? Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, says, "You have died." Now that's a reference to your baptism. Because the Bible says when you're baptized into Christ, you've died with Christ. Okay? So he says, "You have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." So if you want to know who you are, the hidden parts are found in Jesus. They are not found in being history teachers and stay-at-home moms. Christian. Now, stay-at-home mom, close number 2. Because we need moms and we need wives. Doing mom and wife things, because the scripture commands it, amen? But it's still number 2 after I'm a follower of Christ Jesus. Galatians chapter 2. I love how he says that in Colossians. You've died. Who are you? Hey, he's dead. He's gone. He died in the baptism tank. He is gone. And if you want to find who you really are, it's hidden in Jesus, which means, guess what? If you want to find who you are, where do you got to look? At Christ. And where does the Bible say you look at Christ? In the scriptures. So we're also kidding ourselves if we haven't read this thing in a month and haven't studied Numbers. That's what I'm doing right now. Love you, Daddy. Happy Father's Day. Those are my Numbers studies right now. Hey, we got to be, this is where our identity is coming from. And we haven't even read the thing in a month. I don't know. If the shoe fits, just wear it. And then, I don't know, kick yourself. Don't kick me. Okay? So, but I love how your life's hidden in Christ. If you want to find who you are, you got to go looking at Jesus. Because that's who you are. Okay? The problem is we like doing things. I like donuts, and I like basketball, and I like, you know, doing stuff. And we let those things become who we are. I'm a basketball player. I grew up saying, ball is life. What a silly thing to say. Christ is life. Amen? Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. What do you know? Romans says that's how you participate in the death of Jesus in your immersion. So it's the same thing. You're dead. You've been crucified. You're dead. He says, it is no longer I who live. He's dead. She's dead. They're gone. If you want to go back to being a history teacher, you are digging up the old man. You are no longer that person. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. That is what you are supposed to do with the new lives that you have been given, is you no longer live them for yourself, but you live them for Christ, because that is who you are. Let's stand. Thanks for your attention. Maybe bring an umbrella. Tonight will be really fun. We get there at 4, typically, 4 p.m. So you can linger in a little bit later, but we really want to make sure we're We're cooking and rolling usually by 5. So try to be there by 4. Lots of fun, games, stuff like that. And appreciate that. So let's pray. Dear Lord God, we thank you, Lord, for your word, for leaving it behind. And this is the most important thing that matters, spiritual truths. You know, it's very personal. This is our very identity. You can see why it has the power to be a great light and a great thing in our life. We also see how it can correct us at times, and we don't like that, and it can really challenge us. And, you know, the way that we made our potato salad, you know, is being scrutinized, you know, fails a little bit compared to the analysis and scrutiny of our soul and of our faith. These things are the most personal things that we have to ourselves. And you have left us your word to help us sift through and to understand all of this. And just really, really just wanted to bring out the idea that our identity is really important, and that we have it layered accurately, so that way when the world strips these things away from us, our health is absolutely at some point going to be stripped away from us. And we don't want our faith to wobble because these other layers are being taken away. We want to make sure that Jesus, that our life that is in you, is our number one layer, so that way we can have faith into the end. This is very important. This is the matter of eternity, heaven and hell, the salvation of our soul. It's the most important thing that matters. And we want to make sure that we get it right. And if we could also be of help to others around us, that's how you have designed the church, that we would also desire to do that. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our brother and our King. Amen.